Our text is the very brief apostolic exhortation following immediately upon 1 Corinthians 13 that Walt Harper read a moment ago. The apostle is very pointed when he urges us, make love your aim. When it is love, it is not, well, even true love cannot escape entirely free of tarnishing concupiscence. And in the culture at large, there is a tendency, the more, to confuse lust for love. In spite of the Valentine cards disappearing from the rack at $4 or $5 a clip, there is more of self and less of others when it comes to love celebrated on February 14th in America in the year 2000. Eros abounds, and agape is becoming the more and more rare. Freelance writer Erica Neal was incensed at the promo for last evening's CBS showing of Sally Hemings and American Scandal. The promo touted the production, one of the greatest love stories never told. And that promo was very offensive to Neal, who wrote about racism, but she also wrote about adultery. The whole affair, master and slave mistress, shows an ugly distortion of love as God intended love to be. You see, when it's love, it is much more than our doing. When it's love, it is something of God. Have we thought about God's love when going about the chores or errands for our spouse? When giving precious time we really don't have to our children, or interrupting our busy schedule to reflect with a student to help him discover what we see as obvious answers to help the struggling novice? Pressed by those kinds of demands, our love comes up short, but God's love does not. And that helps. And the encouragement this morning is when loving someone, focus clearly on the notion that love is of God. Love starts with God. Romanticists assume that there's a natural reservoir of love within each of us. Where is that reservoir of love within you? Last hour's class meeting in Winnicken 102 will attest the non-existent reservoir of love within yours truly. Where then is love? Looking to the likes of us for true love is futile. And that is demonstrated in our culture over and over again. The fallen race forfeited any expertise on love. St. Paul understood that very well. And so he points us to a greater love. Did you notice when Walt read the lesson a moment ago and he cited those characteristics of love presented in 1 Corinthians 13, that those are the very traits which are akin in numerous phrases to the attributes of God himself. Who is patient? Who is kind? God is patient. God is kind in his grace. God does not love at the expense of those he loves. He loves completely for their good. His love is for others. A love that bears all things, a love that endures, and a love that never ends for others. Love starts with God. our nearsighted generation fixates on self-improvement, self-realization, self-affirmation, self-fulfillment. How can such self-absorbed people love? Eros is the progenitor of countless therapies for being good to self, for pampering self, for loving oneself. Not all of that is negative, but when religion attempts to link such therapies of self to the gospel, then something has to be noted. The gospel as we know it, the gospel of Jesus Christ, will have nothing of narcissism, meaning love of self. God's love in Jesus Christ for a world is a love for others. And every phrase here in 1 Corinthians 13 that speaks about love has other people in view, persons other than ourselves. And you know, that kind of love proves to be a very good therapy itself. Have you ever thought about it? Picture a young pastor, a recent graduate of this seminary, out in his little office. The sermon parts are not coming together. He's frustrated, and he pushes away from his desk and he walks over to the window, and he's tortured by those questions. What am I doing? What's happening? What has it come to? And I recall wiser pastors of a former generation who said, "Young man, reach for your pocket New Testament, grab your communion set, get in your car, move down the road, and stop at a few places to minister to persons whom life has dealt with very harshly." Self-love and self-pity tend to evaporate in the absorption of loving others. That's the therapy that the Apostle Paul advances in this beautiful love chapter of the New Testament. And don't you think that something of this selfless love is needed in our dating and for our courtship and in our marriages and homes? Relationships. What a twist and turn that term has taken in recent years. Today, the term relationship is widely employed as a euphemism for love? No, not at all, hardly. No, relationship has become a euphemism for self-gratification. Using others and being used for the short-term pleasure. I don't have to draw pictures for you. They abound everywhere, in the media, in entertainment, in society and culture. Relationships servile to hedonism. Has love come to this? Not when love is of God. Then a relationship is two God-fearing persons. Let's take them, a young man and a young girl. Each one asking, "Who am I and what has God invested in me as a person that I can take all of this to respect, to ennoble, to build up, to fulfill, to complete the life of my girlfriend, my boyfriend, my sweetheart, my spouse?" Such is love. Love for others. The love that is something of God Himself. Writing about a man and woman in marriage, John Bozzano stated, "Love is something you do." But there is an a priori to that statement. Love is something God does. His love is first. And then love is something you do and I do when we walk in the footprints of Jesus. I want to move a moment away from the epistles to the Gospels and encourage you to open to the Gospels. I did not say fill his shoes, but walk in the footprints of the Lord on his pathway of love. What do you see in the Gospels? Why, you see throngs pressing him with their diseases, their infections, and their dirty sores, and their palsy, and their crippled limbs, and their blind eyes. And you hear the lepers cry from a distance, their limbs rotting and their faces horribly disfigured, Kyrie eleison. But then look, see Jesus, see him care so very much, see love in action divine. By the love of Jesus, a man picks up the rough boards of a pallet to which he was captive as a paralytic, and he carries them like sticks on his way home through the streets of Capernaum. Hysterical mourners scatter from the doorstep of Jairus' house when Jesus gives back to that family a little girl whom he rescued from the jaws of death. And look over there on the side of the road, an empty coffin and flowers tossed away as a widow and mother with her son and their family and friends scurry back into the city of Nain. What a different post-funeral dinner that was that day. Yes, turn the pages of the gospel record. Walk in the footsteps, the footprints of Jesus. See power, see God, see love. Have you ever thought about that unnamed young boy holding his lunch basket as the loving hands of Jesus took up those barley loaves and two fish, preparing a satisfying meal for thousands seated on the slopes of those Galilean hills? Have you ever thought about that young boy and what happened to him? Certainly, we have theological eyes for greater details. But that boy, who stood so close to the Savior and his boundless love and care that day, what kind of a man did he become? I think he became a good man, a loving husband and father, a respected man in the village, a man who looked at every turn to help others because as a boy, he had stood in the very footprints of Jesus that day, the footprints of God's love, so close to that love divine. What a transforming power in the life of a young lad. Have you ever considered the pastoral ministry in just this way? That in the pulpit and at the baptism font, you stand in the very footprints of Jesus. How close to Jesus and his love. How close. And in the celebration, you as a pastor have the blessed privilege to turn from his table and walk to the communion rail, taking his body crucified, his blood shed for remission of sins. And you press those gifts to the lips of people. Oh, the joy of walking in our Lord's footprints and pathways of love. When it is love, it is of God. It is for others. It is in Christ. Make love your aim. Amen.